Excited. It's poor behavior. He's a great God. Now, I want to talk to you about something this morning. I believe I'm going to help us. I helped myself in the studying of it. And I want to look at some scriptures, and maybe we might take two on this subject. Because I believe it's something that we really need to get hold of and understand so we can walk in a greater measure of faith and peace and confidence with God. You know, sometimes we feel God is not saying much, especially when we really need to hear from Him. In the situation that we just went through where Anne elected to go on and begin her ministry in heaven, can you imagine? Can you imagine what Ann Fletcher's ministry would be in heaven? And during this time, I really needed God. I really needed His grace. And we need God to speak to us. And He does as we look to Him. And I told you in the funeral, the celebration, one of the things that He spoke to me as I was going to meet the folks at the funeral home, as I walked through the kitchen, He said to me, "Don't be sad on Ann's promotion day." And because, you know, the scripture says, "Thy word, O Lord, is settled forever in heaven." Here's something you need to know. One reason God's not talking all the time, He's not a chatterbox to begin with. But one reason that He speaks in measured ways is because when He speaks something, all heaven and all earth has to obey that. And when He speaks it, it's creating. And it's going to come to pass. And then it dispatches angels, and they have all this to do. And I shared with you that there's power in the words that He speaks. So since he said to me, I didn't say that to myself. I didn't feel like saying to myself, "Don't be sad." So when He said that, the saying of it created the reality of it. There are times we really need to hear from God. It's the only thing that will make it different. And that's why some of us are just so anxious to get to church to see what God's going to say in the imagine, that is the Swahili for when the people come together to see what God's going to do, and so that they can do it together with Him. That's a lot contained in one word. And when that was spoken to me, "Don't be sad on Ann's promotion day," I suddenly saw and being promoted rather than my losing Ann. See, my parents never ever held me back from opportunities. They weren't selfish. And when I went to be with John when he was in the army, when he was in the service, and my folks never did cry and carry on, "Oh, we're going to miss you, we don't want you to go." They thought it would be a great experience. They knew that I loved him. They knew I wanted to go with him. That's the way this was with Ann. It's a great opportunity for her. And all of that He said to me when He said those words. So then after that, it's so hard to explain what the result is when the great grace of God has overtaken you. But I just got elevated up to the 5th or 6th floor from where I was. And the other thing He spoke to me about 3 days later, maybe it was the day of the funeral, which would have been the next day. He said to me, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And He said to me, there's peace and there's perfect peace. And though you walk in peace, I want to give you perfect peace. But keep your mind stayed on me. Don't be mixing all this other stuff about how you feel about Ann and the loss of Ann. And how sad you'll be and how you'll miss her and how precious she was and how you won't hear her voice again in this life. All of those things. And so when he spoke that, I said, I choose to keep my mind stayed on you. I want my peace to be perfected. It's so important to hear from God. They gave me a choice of Anne's things, and I chose a clock because I like clocks. And it's one of these Seth Thomas old clocks, you know, shaped like that. And it chimes, though I'd never seen that clock at Anne's house before. And I've never heard it chime, I've never heard it tick, and I never heard her mention it. But I saw it, and they said, yeah, nobody has asked for that. So we put it in the car and brought it home one day. The next morning, I called Judy Wirt and I said, does this clock work? Has it ever worked? Do you know anything about the clock? She said, not a clue. So I figured it was not working at all, and I was going to see about having it fixed. I love a chiming clock when it has a nice chime. We have a grandfather clock, too, from John's grandfather back when Billy Fry died. We got that. And so we'd been using it. I mean, we'd been enjoying it. And then it quit running. So we're sitting at breakfast the next morning after we got the clock, and we hear, bong, 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 bong. And we all look at each other, and it's not the bong of the grandfather clock that we got from Billy Fry. It continues on and it does its striking and does it for 5 hours. I said, I wonder if Ann has something to say to us. It's just the most precious little comforting experience. So after the 6 hours, it's not working again, so we'll have to find out how to get it going. I just thought you might enjoy that because I really did. He tried to wind it and it was frozen. So there you go. So Psalm 35, verse 21 and 22 says, this thou hast seen, O Lord, keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. You know, God doesn't do as much talking as many people wish he would. Now listen carefully. I'm not being critical. I'm stating a fact. So some people make it up that he's talking. That's a fact. Some people imagine he's talking. It's probably not terrible if they don't bring it in prophecy and put it on other people. But here's the thing. Your words that you dream and think are not ever going to heal you. They're not ever going to get the will of God done. They have no effect because they're yours. Just wait for him to speak. Yes. How many times in the scripture people just couldn't wait? They couldn't wait for a word from God. And so they just went ahead and did what they thought they should be doing. God doesn't speak sometimes either as often or as soon as we want him to speak. But since he's God, he will answer in his own time. Yes. And it may not be convenient or even understandable to us. And I want to look at some reasons just taken from some scripture of why God may be silent when he's silent. So that we can elevate the level of trust and confidence that we have in God, understanding a little better how God works. I like Tommy Tenney's ministry because that's what all his messages were about. The inside workings of God and his ways. You know, back in the early charismatic days, I was invited to be on some fancy TV program. And so the man asked me right before, he wanted to have a conversation with me to do the program. And he said, what would you like to talk about? And I said, well, I'd like to talk about the dealings of God. Now, I find this to be an absolutely necessary thing to understand. Do you? Yes. or else just be dumb and pretend he's not dealing and ignore him and let it take 20 times as long. So the man said, just tell him how to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and pray for him. Okay. That's where a lot of the world lives. Don't tell me anything about God. Just give me what he says I can have. It might be good now in these days for us to get to know God. We really need him. So I think one of the first and main reasons is because your obedience to his will may be incomplete. Now, I do not by this mean you're not perfect yet. And I don't mean you failed here and there and you haven't done everything the way he wants it done. I mean God told you something and you just chose not to do that. And you're continuing to walk in that. That will hinder your hearing from God. And I just want to show you an example. In Genesis 12, 1 and 2, you might like to turn there with me. Turn to Genesis 12. Sorry we don't have our screens working today, but it's some people's day off. Genesis 12, there's a genius back there. You never know if she'll figure it out. And the scripture says, begin at verse 1, Genesis 12. Everybody there? Use that old-fashioned paper Bible for now. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country. Now listen carefully. From thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. The words of God are precious, and he doesn't waste any. And he meant every one of these words. He just didn't say, get out. He didn't say, move as you feel led. He told him exactly how to go. He said, get out of this country, away from your kindred, and out of your father's house. Get out. Leave it behind. And I will make of thee a great nation. Wow. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed. I don't know what some of you all think, but your ministry could be just beginning. And verse 10. Now I want you to see this. He took Lot, which was a part of his father's house and a part of his kindred, and he wasn't supposed to do that. Incomplete obedience to the will of God. See, like I said. But, no, yeah, Genesis 12. It's okay, we're doing fine. And I do think that helps us to have it up here. I like it when I get to be a participant down there. So Lot went with him. Now there was a famine in the land, verse 10 says, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. Now, how many of you save us all the time remembers that he got in some trouble down there in Egypt? And he, out of pressure, he got into lying. Because you see, when you get a little bit out of the will of God, then you get tempted with the things you wouldn't ordinarily do. Because he's having to do some of this himself because I think the Lord's saying something like, you know, you wanted to have some of it your own way, and maybe let's see if you can take care of this too. But when we fully obey the Word of God, then he fully makes every provision for us. I just think we open ourselves to temptation. And so he lied about Sarah being his wife. And then in Genesis 13, verses 3 to 5, he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at first. Just a minute. At the beginning between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went with Abram. I like the way the scripture lifts these things out. And had flocks and herds and tents. Now, some people think, if I've got plenty of money and plenty of things, then God must be pleased with me. Because Abram and Lot got real rich. I think sometimes the Lord lets people get rich because he says, go ahead and have that because you're not having the best I wanted to give you. So go ahead and have something. You're working hard at it. But who wants flocks and herds when you could have the voice of God? It's a poor trade-off. So then, you know, the thing that happened next, of course, Lot's true nature came out. They got into some quarreling and some quibbling. And so Abram said, well, just lift up your eyes and you take whatever area you want and I'll take what's left. And so Lot chose what he wanted, and Abraham took what was left. Verse 14 of Genesis 13. The Lord said to Abram after Lot was separated from him. Everybody say, after Lot was separated. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and thy seed forever. Notice how the whole world opened up to Abram when he fulfilled all obedience. It would do us good from time to time to come to the Lord and say, am I on track? Is there anything in my life you want different? Let me just make it real simple. If you're not a great person, fantastic, famous, or doing wonderful things, am I really giving myself to obeying God, to being in his word, to prayer, to worship in spirit and in truth, or am I only being partially obedient in these things? It's not that hard to be obedient to God. Just remember what he wants you to do. Remember you told him you would do it. And then let him check you up on it every now and then so that you can keep hearing his voice clearly. Abram was told to get out of his father's house, his family, and go to the land he would show him, that he did not leave his nephew. And God didn't speak to him again about any of his plans for him until he separated from Lot. There's a passageway that can remain open anytime I really need to hear from God. I get before him and I ask the spirit of conviction. Are you all afraid of the spirit of conviction? Let me tell you, he will set you free. He will separate you from things that are keeping you from God. That's the beauty of it. Not doing the simple things of obedience that we know, such as giving and praying and studying the word, separate us from that close communion. Not saying you're going to go to hell, but just saying that on your way to heaven, you're not going to have it as good. Hello? Incomplete obedience. Let me tell you another reason it could be that you're not hearing from God. Maybe everything you've been talking to him about is under perfect control and he doesn't have anything to say. You know, when Abraham, when the Lord told him to take his son, Isaac, and Abraham waited a little while, and then he did exactly, got up early in the morning, did exactly what the Lord told him to do, but we don't hear a bunch of conversation going on between Abraham and God. He did say the Lord himself will provide a sacrifice. What a revelation he had. But he went through all the motions of what God told him to do. Now, God didn't need to speak to Abraham again. And Abraham didn't keep saying, are you sure about the boy? Because God had already provided a ram for the sacrifice. And the trip and the journey will be used as a test of Abraham's faith. And the testing of your faith is pure gold. And it brings Abraham out in a completely different place. God has it all under control. We can trust him. There's already a ram in the thicket prepared. You know, and then again, maybe God has already taken care of it and set things in motion. And you know, he says that he has prepared for us things that he can't even speak or you can't even say. Things beyond what we could even ask or think. He's already prepared for us. Well, part of that is prayer answers. He's already prepared the answers to the things that we are now praying. And he's already taken care of everything. So he doesn't need to just keep talking about it. Did you know that God is a God of action more than he is a God of talk? God just does things. He really does things. You know, like with Daniel, the scripture says that he had prayed, but God didn't really need to say anything to Daniel because he already had the angel there waiting to shut the mouths of the lion. Neither did he keep him from being thrown into the lion's den. Maybe if you can understand this as good theology, you won't avoid all the problems in life. And anybody that tells you you won't ever have to suffer, that is bad theology. You will occasionally go all the way to the place of being thrown into the very den of the lions. But God went ahead of you and had the angel already there. We have to understand that we can really count on God. You know, in Acts 12 and verse 5, you remember the scripture there talks about Peter being put into prison, and the church is all praying. They're all praying for him. Acts 12, yeah. They're all praying for Peter. And I imagine there could have been some conversation. I wonder what's going on with Peter. Wonder what's going to happen to Peter. Hey. And then I'm sure that Miss Miserable was there to say, you know what happened to James? They killed him. Or we better pray hard. I don't know if it'll do any good to pray. Maybe this is the day God wants to kill people. I mean, there's always people, the naysayers, that are there. But the scripture says that they prayed without ceasing, and they prayed, the understanding of the Greek word there is they prayed stretched outedly. They stretched themselves out in prayer. They did not know how God was going to answer their prayers until the very night before. That song that we just heard was something about not being early but being on time, the one that we just now heard. Yeah, that's just kind of amazing, because that's the way he is. Listen carefully. He's never late. We're just worried. They prayed, and they didn't hear anything until just the night before. And then the angel came and brought Peter out. Wow, what a deal. And sometimes he's decided to go ahead of you and wait for you there. The Lord gave me the scripture. Excuse me, it's become a scripture to me. He gave me the understanding. Pray there before you go there. I am not writing a new Bible. He just spoke that to me. Pray there before you go there. That had to do with India. And that we hadn't prayed some things through before we went. And then the enemy attacked here in the church while we were gone. Pray there before you go. Whatever things we're going to do for God. We're talking about some folks going to Mozambique. Maybe even later on this fall. And before anything like that happens, we want to make sure we pray there before we go there. You know, Daniel didn't say a word during the discussions with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us, but nothing seems to be happening yet. But the amazing thing is that the fourth man in the flame was waiting for them in a furnace. It never gets too hot for God. He will be with you in the hottest, hardest trial of life. And he will be there waiting for you. You can count on it. You pray there before you go there. Very important. And here's something that's always been kind of mystifying to me. Sometimes he has a preset time for what you're praying about. And he doesn't necessarily explain to you all about that, you know. As we say in this day, TMI, God's never like that. He never gives you too much information. You always wish he would give you just a little bit more. I want you to look at Luke 1, verse 4 through 7. To me, this is a very delightful scripture. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were now listen here, they were both righteous. These are good people praying. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. You're praying, you're righteous. You are blameless, walking in all the commandments of the Lord. So why is he not answering your prayer? Why are you not hearing from him? Why is he not saying anything? And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. Now apparently they had been praying for some time about having a child. But she was barren. Now that, I don't know exactly what it means to be stricken in years. I think it means that you have felt the years, at least. I'd say it meant they were old. So here's two old people. Well, I think that God, in his sense of humor, loves to invigorate old people. Like he did with Sarah. Just say, hey, it doesn't matter to me that you can't bear children anymore. You're going to have a son. And Abraham, it doesn't matter that you can't be involved in this way anymore. You're going to have a son. The Lord loves to quicken that which is dead and make it live. I mean, he could have done this any way he wanted to. But his plan was to have Elizabeth bear a son named John the Baptist, who would come at exactly the same time to be connected with Jesus. And this baby's so spiritual that it... Well, let me don't go into that. I won't finish. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. They both were now well stricken in years. Now, Luke 1, verse 12 through 13. So he's praying. Zacharias is praying. He's a priest in the temple. And he's there at taking his course of prayer, and he's praying there. And an angel comes and says, "Fear not, Zacharias. Thy prayer is heard." What? Which what prayer? No, you can't mean that prayer. Now, you're too late to answer that prayer. You talk about God not being convenient for us? You've got to get yourself completely rejuvenated in order to fulfill this. And I'm going to see that it happens, and don't think you know just when everything has to happen. Because I know when I want it to happen, and I'll make you right for the time. You know Heidi Baker, they were missionaries for 18 years. She said they raised up three wobbly churches in that period of time. She came back to Toronto, and she got the word of the Lord came through Randy Clark. God spoke. Do you want a nation? She runs down the aisle screaming, "Yes!" And God gave her the nation of Mozambique. Now even the Muslims are acknowledging that northern Mozambique has fallen to the Christians. And he went on to say, The blind shall see, the deaf shall be healed, the dead shall be raised. She went back to Mozambique and she had 1 year of hell. She describes the awful things that they were involved in, floods and wars. And it looked like nothing was going to happen. But one day, she had been praying. I can just see Heidi like this. She said, I jumped on every blind person I saw, prayed for them. Nobody saw, but I had that word. So she said, one day I jumped up and there was this woman. I prayed for her, and right before my eyes, her eyes went from white to gray to brown. From that day, blind eyes started being opened. Well, why not before that? Well, it has to do something with what God's doing. When He wants to do things in His timing, and if we can trust God that His timing is better than ours after all. And then when it was time, their ministry came forth in power. I don't know how humble and real is a person, I'm speaking of Heidi, that would text you from Mozambique today, how's Ann doing? I'm going into prayer, praying for her now. Then when I texted her and told her that Ann had chosen to go on to be with Jesus, she said, well, God, to God be all the glory. You will see her, but it's hard to wait, isn't it? How does a person who has all her hands full have the time to do things like that? Maybe God waits until we become that kind of people. Two people I asked to have compassion like, and one was my mother and the other one was Ann Fletcher. I said, please, Lord, I see it and it's so impartial. An impartial compassion. So, the time of Jesus' arrival had already been set. Zechariah was fasting and praying. Verse 13, the angel said to him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth, just so he doesn't get mixed up with anybody else. It reminds him what his wife's name is. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Why? Nobody never knew anybody named John. Don't you think he was probably thinking, why didn't you come to me when I was young and praying? You know, Kenneth Hagin, I didn't have a minute to lay my hand on the book, but he tells about before he had some sort of vision that he was praying every night around 2 a.m. and would pray for, I don't know if it was 3 or 4 hours, 2 or 3 something, for a great outpouring of the Spirit in America, where that there would be great miracles and there would be signs and wonders and great healings. And he gave himself to praying for that and praying much in the Spirit and tongues. And he prayed for that, I think he said right after the war, so that's 45, is it? So right after that, he set himself to pray. But something fantastic was going to happen in 1948. Israel was going to become a nation. Now listen, first the natural and then the spiritual. God's got this. But he did need a man to pray it through, don't you understand? It's not that God was going to do it anyway. And this man was praying in the time that was right. He knew he was going to do it, and he set a man praying to make the spiritual headway so he could do it. And others, of course, were praying. But the answer to his prayer was not revealed until 1948. And then all heaven broke loose. And then God called all of these fantastic people and poured out all these wonderful ministries like William Branham and Oral Roberts and all of those that did things that people had not done before and really and truly are not doing now. We need another move on that line, not what we're trying to do. But that real Holy Ghost breakthrough, come on, don't be satisfied with anything less. If he did it for them, he wants to do it for us as well. And that last thought, maybe he has a greater plan than the one that you're praying about. Jesus did pray this prayer, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He did pray that prayer. But sometimes God wants to give us multiplied more rather than the thing it seems would set us free at the moment. And it wasn't the plan, it was the plan of God to plant that seed of Jesus Christ, the seed of all eternity, that it might multiply. He overcame death. Jesus was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. One of the great men in Africa that has great meetings and miracles, and I preached at one of his churches in America a while back. He said he kept asking God for a house because he and his little family were living in two rooms, I think it was. And he was just in the ministry. And he was saying, Lord, would you just give me a house that all the children could have their own rooms and this and that and the other. And I kept calling on God for that. And one day the Lord said to me, you're asking me for a house, but I want to give you a city. Somehow he wanted him to live in that house a while longer. Like the reasons I was mentioning with Heidi, maybe. A lot of humbling reality can come to us while we're waiting and not understanding. And then when we're ready. You know, Victor said to me one day, we were at Sandra Kennedy's, and I said, for goodness sakes, why did you stop ministering? I mean, he was calling out everything and everybody and names and what was going to happen, and bang, he just stopped right in the middle. He said, because everything opened to me, and I don't think I'm ready yet. You're asking me for a house, and I want to give you a city. And a little while down the road, they found this property that they got very inexpensively, but it was large. It's like this one was large, but it was not inexpensive. And he said that they began to develop it, and because of the miracles and the great things that God was doing, great crowds began to come. They're the ones that have a prayer meeting once a month that lasts all night, and a million people come. And there are all kinds of miracles that are done. So he said, and now so we have our own city. We have our own electricity and water. We have our own school, and we have our own government. We have our own school, and the government has no control here, no police station, because we don't ever need one. I've noticed that people like this man I just mentioned, these Africans, people from other nations, and great miracle workers who raise the dead and mightily heal the sick, they believe, they are convinced that sin separates them from God, that everything in their life matters. That's a foregone conclusion. Every little thing matters. I remember Catherine Kuhlman saying, she saw a beautiful dress, and she wanted to get it, but she didn't know if maybe it was just a little bit too worldly looking. And she said, I said, Lord, would you speak to me in that dress? You don't believe every little thing matters. Now, the Lord told me one time, don't wear that, when I was getting dressed one day. If you listen to him, he'll, and he's not into everything, but some things don't please him. So, last scripture, Isaiah 58:14. 50 through 59 too. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear. Now that doesn't mean if you're not happy the way you're hearing from God, you're in some great big sin. Hear what I'm saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we have to live, sin-conscious lives. We should not. We should be God-conscious. But we should not resist the Holy Spirit when he shows us sin in our lives. And we should not settle down in a thing that we know is wrong and laugh about it and say, that's just how I am. That's really just giving up on that complete obedience that I was talking about. And I believe that we live in a day where we really need to hear from God. We had a man that would come here and minister some. I sure wish I could remember his name. And he was a good friend to William Branham. And he told me he was the most humble man he had ever seen. He said if he thought he had done anything to grieve or offend God, he would just fall down where he was if it was in the middle of a mud puddle and ask God's forgiveness. He said he got it made right. David Schock told me he was with Smith Wigglesworth one time, driving down the road with his parents or someone. Said, would you stop the car for just a minute? And he got out and walked into a forest off the highway and came back in about 30 minutes. And he said, thank you so much. He said, there for a little bit, I just lost my touch with him. You know, just exploring some of these things with you today, I only have a few answers I can throw us that might help us, and there's so many answers I don't have. But I just love to keep my mind stayed on him. Because I believe he has a lot of things that he wants to say to us. And every time that someone that we love so dearly goes on to be with Jesus, others of you have to rise up to take that place. Anne had tremendous discernment. And she was a wonderful prayer. And all of the things that she did to uphold the church. Anne cared about every little brick in the building. She cared about everything. I just want to challenge some of you. Try to rise up. Life comes out of death. So let God give you life in this time. I believe he wants to give fresh life to a lot of us. Nobody's ever going to take Ann Fletcher's place. But the Lord is simply saying she has mentored a lot of people and it's now time for them to release what has been put into her. A love for prayer and a love for worship and a love for the word and a love for people. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, I just want to thank you that you are a God who